Okay, wrong.
Call the meeting to order. Ladies and gentlemen, we were informed this morning of the passing of Mr. Leighton Johnson, who I'm sure some of you know was mayor, was also planning and zoning commissioner. And I'm going to ask Vice Chairman Rodney Smith to maybe just share a few words about our experience with Mr. Johnson, and then we'll call for a moment of silence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I welcome the opportunity to speak on the passing of the W. Leighton Johnson that so many people knew. Mr. Johnson served in the U.S. military in World War II, serving in Czechoslovakia. He kept up that service through his mature years, actually retiring with the rank of general. On or about the 1960s, Mr. Johnson took over from the Honorable Harvey Spicer as the mayor of Georgetown, a position that he held throughout the decade of the 60s and 70s, being one owing to community service, commitment not only to his nation, the state, and town. Mr. Johnson took over as a planning and zoning commissioner in 1999, serving well for 6 years, before being replaced by his son, Mr. Michael Johnson, who is not here tonight, quite understandably. And he will be missed by all those that knew him and were appreciative of the service and selfless hours that he gave in his devotion to his fellow man. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And now if we could just observe a moment of silence as we remember Leighton Johnson. Thank you very much. Our first item of business is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lank, do we have any changes this evening?
There's one item under other business. The resort at Massey's Landing has been removed from the agenda by the applicant. Will be resubmitted at a later date.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the agenda with the withdrawal as noticed by Mr. Lank.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the January 22nd, 2015 meeting.
Gentlemen, you can give consideration to the minutes of January 22nd as corrected. I did make a few corrections since we sent those out.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes as corrected of January 22, 2015 meeting.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the January 22, 2015 meeting as amended. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Next item is old business. We have one item of old business this evening, that being subdivision 2013-4, Jack Lingo Asset Management, LLC.
Gentlemen, for the record, this application has been open since December 11, 2014. You were provided previously with copies of a letter from the Office of State Planning Coordination to Mr. Robertson advising that PLUS is not needed for a third time, and that was dated on January 2nd of 2015. You received a letter from Davis Bone and Friedel Incorporated to the Office of State Planning Coordination dated December 17, and four additional letters from Davis Bone and Friedel Incorporated to the Office of State Planning Coordination in reference to PLUS comments and as responses, and they were dated April 8th of 2013, January 6th of 2014, February 4th of 2014, and June 27th of 2014. We also received emails from Gerald Lecklider dated December 18, 2014, and December 25th of 2014. We received two emails from John Mateko dated December 28th of 2014. Both were dated the same. Another email from Gerald Lecklider dated January 2nd of 2015. An email from Leah Tropp, hopefully I pronounced that right, dated January 7th of 2015. And a letter from Davis Bone and Friedel dated January 21st of 2015. On December, and they were provided previously to the members. On December 11, 2014, the commission had left the record open for a copy of the applicant's response to the June 20, 2014 plus letter, which was also enclosed, and clarification from the Office of State Planning Coordination whether the application is required to go through the plus process again. That was also enclosed. And since the Office of State Planning Coordination is not requiring the applicant to go through the plus process again, the record for this application can be closed. There's one additional comment, which I just received. Based on the record of the December 11th decision to defer and leave the record open, it was also noted that the Delaware State Historic Preservation Office shall be allowed to submit any additional comments during this time period. Since the record is open, I did receive today a copy of a letter, an email with attachments of a report of a meeting on site with the applicants from the Delaware State Historic Preservation Office, which I will pass down now so you have that document. So then you have all the comments that we received to date.
All right then. So gentlemen, the matter before us is the one of closing the record. And I would also suggest to you that since we're receiving information as late as this afternoon, that it would be wise to defer any further action at this time to give the commission the opportunity to actually review and digest whatever new information has been put into the record to date.
Just one clarification too, Mr. Lang, if I could.
Sure.
Just for the benefit of the public, so there's not any confusion about letters. The letter from the Office of State Planning Coordination to me advising that PLUS is not needed for a third time was dated January 12th. I think you said January 2nd, but it was January 12th, and I went back and checked. I think you read off.
Okay, it was the 11th?
It was January 12th.
Oh, I had the 12th. Did I say 11th?
And you said the 2nd.
I got bifocals. That must be it. Sorry.
Just so there's not any confusion.
Well, at any rate, that letter is, in fact, part of the record for anyone who wishes right. to see it. It's there to be seen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, seeing this is in my area, and I think leaving the record open was a good decision, but it's time to close it. So my motion for subdivision 2013-4 Jack Lingo Asset Management LLC is to close the record.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to close the record for subdivision 2013-4 Jack Lingo Asset Management LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's carried.
And then, Mr. Chairman, considering subdivision 2013-4 Jack Lingo Asset Management LLC, my motion is for deferral to allow the commission to digest the new information.
Second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2013-4 Jack Lingo Asset Management LLC. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We have four public hearings this evening. We appreciate very much that you're with us this evening, that you're giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. I assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. And speaking of the rules of the commission, allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission's meetings to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings. and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a telephone or similar device, we also ask that it be switched off or turned to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. Excuse me. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come to the podium and identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. We do ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that's irrelevant or unduly repetitive. In addition, Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During these proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Also, individuals supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 2007, Delaware Electric Cooperative Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an electrical substation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 4 acres more or less, for land lying northwest of Providence Church Road, Road 504, and across from Pine Branch Road, being Road 503. A 911 address was not available since this portion of the property is vacant, and the tax map ID is District 532, Map 11, and being a part of Parcel 25. For the benefit of the record and for the commission, I've passed down copies of the site plan submitted with this application. For the benefit of the record, we did receive 3 agency comments, first one being from DelDOT. Comments were provided on March 25th, 2014 in the form of a support facilities report and references that a traffic impact study was not recommended. At the current level of service A of Providence Church Road may change to a level of service B when the site is fully developed. The second comment is from the Sussex Conservation District. Their comments were received on February 4, 2015. Again, in the form of a memorandum and referencing that there are 2 soil types on this property, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas are affected, that it is not likely that off-site drainage improvements will be required, that it is possible that on-site drainage improvements will be required, and that no tax ditches are affected. The third comment came from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. It was received February 9, 2015 in the form of a memorandum, and they referenced that the site is located in the Western Sussex Planning Area Number 4, that use of an on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Study will be required, that the proposed use is not in an area where the county has a schedule to provide sewer service at this time, and that a concept plan is not required. And gentlemen, today I've received no letters of support or opposition from any individuals or agencies to date other than those 3 comments. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Terry Jaywork from the law firm of Hudson Jones, Jaywork & Fisher. I'm the attorney for Delaware Cooperative, and with me this evening is Mr. Jack Jester, who's the manager of engineering for the cooperative, and Mr. Walter Hoy, who is an engineer who prepared the preliminary site plan.
Mr. Jaywork, I don't think you're a frequent flyer here at Planning and Zoning.
No, I'm not, and this may be my last flight, too.
You think so? Well, it's usually customary for us to require that all the non-frequent flyers give us their bar number. I'm sure you know your bar
number. I did, 419.
419. Yeah, we have some that come up, and it's like four, some of these guys. Anyway.
Not many are lower than 419.
Congratulations. Welcome to Planning and Zoning. You may have the floor.
I think I'm just about finished. I'm going to call Mr. Jester up. He's the guy you really want to hear from, and Mr. Hoy.
Jack Jester, Delaware Electric Cooperative.
Okay.
Walter Hoy with Century Engineering.
Gentlemen, you heard what our director read into the record on your behalf. Yeah, I assume you have a few things you'd like to share with us.
Yes. May Mr. Hoy use the easel?
Sure. Sure. Anyone who has an interest in this project, the applicant has some exhibits which are very hard for you to see from where you're sitting. So please feel free to get up and walk right up to the easel and take a look and stay as long as you like. We just ask that while you're there that you not have any conversation because we're going to be going ahead with our testimony here. So there you go.
The address for the co-op, 14198 Sussex Highway, Greenwood, Delaware, and thank you very much for allowing us to present this information. Delaware Electric needs to construct this substation at this location because based on the projected residential development and the growth in this area, this site is approximately in the center of that projected load growth. And this substation will enhance our reliability of service to the existing customers in this area by allowing us to route service to them in the event of planned or unplanned outages and provide more secure backup. This site also has been offered to Delaware Electric by the owner and future developer of a planned residential subdivision that will be served by this substation. And as you're looking in at the site, Pine Branch Road, you're looking into the development area and then what will be one of the entrance areas of the substation. Thank you. On this location, the physical substation portion will be set back 90 feet from Providence Road and 100 feet from the abutting site property lines. It's a four-acre parcel. It's densely wooded for trees, and except for the entrance areas, it will be completely screened from the abutting properties in all directions by the trees. Although the site is four acres, we will only be using about 1 acre for the actual property, for the actual improved area, approximately 1 acre. The landscape buffering, as you see, will help to cover our structures. The highest point of the substation will consist of our conductor-supported structures, which are approximately 35 feet in height. Initially, the tops of the structures will extend above the tree line, but as the trees mature, they will cover most of the structures. These trees are currently, that's about 15 to 20 feet in height. And as they mature, that'll even give better screening of the area. For security, we will have 8 security lights inside around the fence perimeter at a height of 16 feet. They are 100-watt shoebox style. They point downwards, and they meet the full cutoff requirements so for the visibility and diffusion of the light so it doesn't shine outward to property owners, but it shines downward. And they are dusk-to-dawn lights. And the substation equipment is surrounded by a locked chain link fence 8 feet in height and topped with security wire to prevent unauthorized entry. And signs on all 4 sides of the fence are marked danger, high voltage, and no trespassing. And all that area is behind the screened portion, so it will not be visible from the road. As far as noise is concerned, there may be an occasional low hum audible within approximately 100 feet of the transformer in the heart of that property, of the 1 acre, but the transformer will be located about 150 to 200 feet from the property lines, so that gives further diffusion of the sound through the trees. As far as traffic is concerned, the facility will not generate any traffic. Once the construction is complete, it will only require a once or twice a month visit by DEC personnel for regular inspection and maintenance. There will be no materials or equipment stored on the site. And the letters were sent out to property owners by the Planning and Zoning Office and Delaware Electric, and we have received no comments. Delaware Electric has not at this point. Thank you very much, and I'll be pleased to receive any questions you may have.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anybody has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Ross.
No, this is an AR zoned area, right, Mr. White? And it is, if I use for the purposes, permissible, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And it's for a public purpose, and obviously you can't locate a substation just anywhere for your transmission and distribution. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Mr. Smith?
You indicate that this will have little or no impact on traffic in the area. Is that correct?
That is correct. Our vehicles will only be necessary to be there once or twice a month for routine maintenance.
And you're satisfied with the security that you're providing? Is that typical for the industry?
Yes. The dusk to dawn lights are standard for a substation facility.
And the fence was to be 8 feet?
That's correct. That's a standard height with a barbed wire style atop the fence.
All right.
No further questions.
Okay.
Mr. Burke.
It's a large site. Is it picked for that size for future expansion?
4 acres is a typical property for a substation facility, and we typically only have to use about an acre. That provides some buffering around us, additional buffering apart from the fenced area, and it would offer extra area if we needed to expand. But within that grade and area, which is the approximate, that's actually 0.8 acres, 0.85 acres in that grade area. There is areas within that to expand from our original beginnings. There is plenty of capacity in that location.
Okay. Thank you.
No further questions. Our answer. Thank you, Mr. Lank.
Two questions. In your future expansion, if that were to take place, you would have two options. This is for your information and the public's too, but you would have the option of coming back to the commission and requesting that you be able to do an expansion through a site plan process, and the commission may say it's not a problem because it's only a small expansion, or they may say that you need to go back to public hearing. So just want you to be aware of that. It could be that you have to go back to a public hearing again for a future major expansion. It would be typically a major expansion. The other thing was you made reference to, I forgot what frame of thought here, let me see. You don't only anticipate one or two inspections a month, and you also made reference that there's no equipment or material storage. I have noticed on several cooperative substations that when you're doing utility work in the general area, you're allowed for 3 or 4 bucket trucks to be parked in the impound, and a lot of equipment, cables, pedestals, all that kind of stuff. And it's not a normal thing, it's just on occasion. So could that happen on occasion so we would be aware that we could so stipulate to allow something of that nature?
Yes, that is only occasional, and we are directing our contractors to change this policy to go to other areas except for a substation, not being a substation area. So it's an out of the ordinary occasion that might happen.
And what I'm just thinking specifically of the substation about 2.5 miles west of Georgetown, just south of Route 9, and there was like 3 of the utility company
yes,
bucket trucks were parked at that site, and a lot of equipment. But there is construction activity in general area. That's why I just picked up on that.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
All right, sir. Council?
No questions. Thank you.
All right, then. Gentlemen, if you would take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2007, Delaware Electric Cooperative Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2007? Anyone on the commission have any further questions?
I have one.
Okay.
Getting back to the security aspect, I guess, perhaps.
Yes, please. Please come up. Yeah.
Thank you.
My question being, with the security in place, if there is a need for the fire department to respond to a fire or something on your property, do you have provisions for them to be able to quickly access, get in? Is there a knock box on your gates?
We have done that for at some facilities for the fire department.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Any further questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Okay. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2008, John Martin.
This is an application of John Martin to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a trucking business and the parking of vehicles to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 35,011 square feet more or less, for land lying northwest of Millsboro Highway, Route 24, 300 feet northeast of Lewis Road, being Road 409. With a 911 address of 30102 Millsboro Highway, Millsboro, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 133, Map 20, Parcel 17.17. For the benefit of the commission, hold on a sec. Bear with me. The file got shuffled today. For the benefit of the commission, I'm just passing down copies of the survey of the property. The survey only shows the existing driveway and shows the existing dwelling on the property with the appropriate decking around it. For the benefit of the record, we did receive comments from DelDOT on July 10 of 2013 in the form of a support facilities report referencing that a traffic impact study was not recommended, and that the current level of service E of Millsboro Highway will not change as a result of this application. We also received comments from the Conservation District on February 4 of 2015 in the form of a memorandum and referencing that there is one soil type on the property that the applicants will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas are affected, that it is not likely that off-site drainage improvements will be required, that it is possible that on-site drainage improvements will be required, and that no tax ditches are affected. We also received comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. They were received on February 9th in the form of a memorandum, and they referenced that the site is located in the Western Sussex Planning Area Number 5, that use of an on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Study will be required, that the proposed use is not in an area where the county has a schedule to provide sewer at this time, and that a concept plan is not required. We also received three letters of opposition, and they were received from Brenda Shockley Cantrell, Robert B. Truett Sr., and Judith and Joyce Laughlin, and Mrs. Cantrell's letters had photographs of the site attached. For the benefit of the commission, while we're proceeding, bear with me again. Somebody writes on my file today. I have the letters for your review as we proceed with through the public hearing. I couldn't, the photos didn't copy well, so I didn't copy the letters. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, then. Good evening.
How are you
doing, sir? Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Well, I'm not John Martin, but I'm Eloise Martin. My husband's not able to be here today because he's in the hospital.
Okay. You heard what our director said on your behalf. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I I did not know all of that was going on. I don't have any indication or any correspondence that you got, that you received opposition. This is Mr. Brown, Mr. Donald Brown. He's the tenant of the property. He's the one who actually owns the truck that we're talking about. He doesn't actually run a trucking business out of there. He takes his truck home with him and parks it on the property. I think he at one time had three trucks, and that got a lot of opposition. And he's relocated the other trucks. He has one truck on the property that he himself drives. And if you have any questions of him, of course, you're going to have to ask that.
Well, seeing as he's here, we'll be able to do that. So,
sir.
Why don't we see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Ross.
Okay, ask a question first.
Sure.
Is it Donald or Ronald? I misunderstood.
Donald, sir.
Donald?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. That's all. I just want to get the record straight.
Okay, Mr. Brown, I guess you're asking for permission to, park and operate your truck out of the property, your single tractor trailer?
Yeah, it's the tractor, not the trailer.
Just the tractor?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And it's stored outdoors, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And what do you normally, your hours, what hours do you normally start up out in the morning? Do you work at night or?
Well, mostly I work at both. It varies. Because sometimes I might get some loads going right to all the loads is right here in Delaware. So I'll do them during the day. And then if I got a late load, I usually don't bring the trailer home because can't park it on side of the road. But I usually back my truck in side the road, but on each side of me, on this side of me, is a guy, Bart Dunaway. His son builds commercial housings, so don't nobody live there. And then my other buddy, my other neighbor is Bart Dunaway, and he live in the garage, but he said it don't bother him. And across the street, it's some Mexicans live there. And behind me, I say 100 feet, I'm guessing, to the Knicks house, so I ain't had nobody complain about it or me disturbing them waking up. The problem I was having is getting off of the road. Like if I bring my truck home, I wouldn't park it on the shoulder of the road. I would back it in my yard. So sometime, like I get off like 5 or 6, it'd be traffic coming. And, you know, and I got to be safe. I got to stop the traffic. I put my four-way flashes on and I backs in the yard. That's about it. But the time on starting the truck, it varies. Most of the time, it's 5 in the morning. Then if I'm hauling watermelons and I might be greedy and I want to do an extra load, it'll be later. It'll be like 3 in the morning.
So you're just an owner-operator with a single truck?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I had 3 at one point in time, but that's a headache.
Yeah, so you just downsize to 1 and try to make a living.
Yeah, and a tow truck.
Yeah. Do you live right there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But you don't own the property?
No, sir. Mrs. Martin do. I'm going to soon, though.
Do you perform maintenance on the truck?
Yeah, as far as air pressure in my tires, I got my own service truck on the property, but it's tagged and it's a newer truck. And every once in a while, I change my oil, I grease my truck and check my truck, and I wash this all the time.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
So you dispose of the used motor oil how? Yeah.
I got a, on the back of my service truck, I got a tanker, a tank, and I carry it up there to a buddy of mine. He got a shop, and he sells the oil, and I give it to him.
Right. You mentioned a service truck. Isn't that truck number 2?
Yeah, it's a, what do you mean, a tractor trailer?
Is it a pickup or?
A pickup.
Oh, pickup truck.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. Okay. And then do you keep any extra fenders or cabs or no inoperable vehicles, tires, rims, that kind of stuff?
Well, I do have some. I tinker with cars. I mean, older cars. And I got a full Chevrolet rally wheel sitting behind my shed there, but they all stacked nice and neatly.
Okay.
No truck tires.
No truck tires.
No, sir. Right. No oil laying around. No. I take care of Mrs. Martin properly. She kind of tight on that.
It looked neat when I rode by it. You don't require a sign of any kind? You don't advertise
sort
of thing?
Okay. Now, my truck is lettered, but I don't have a sign posted in my yard or anything like that.
People just know who you are to call you up?
Yes, sir. Well, I haul for coastal material. I haul bag mulch. It's seasonal. Like all winter, see, the truck has been sitting there. I ain't been using it because it's only seasonal work. And I don't downsize. I don't board a tow truck I like playing with, so call myself going to retire, but I like to eat.
Like a little extra cash. Okay, so you don't require a sign, and you have one truck stored outdoors, no tractor trailer. No trailer.
Only trailer I have there is I got a race car, and it's in a trailer.
Lowball. Oh, it's a box trailer?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
It's a car trailer.
Right. Well, that's just for your personal enjoyment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Brown. As Commissioner Rawl said, we've all been by the site and seen it. I'd just like to ask you a couple questions to get a clarification of perhaps what I saw and to get it on the record. Your immediate neighbors, you mentioned that Mr. Bart Dunaway, you said he lives in a garage.
Yes, sir.
Is there still a ongoing auto repair business going out of that garage? Does he still do exhaust work?
I can't say. No, sir.
Don't know. Okay.
No, sir.
Are there any other businesses that you see or home occupations in the immediate area, say maybe a half mile, either up and down 24 or Lewis Road?
Well, Parker Block, that's about two blocks away on the left. And then the house right next door to me, it's Bart's son, he built homes. So, I mean, they trailers and supplies coming out of there, but he don't bother me and I don't bother him.
Okay. So if I were one of your neighbors, what do you think my objection to you having this operation on your property would be?
Well, I'm not running a business out of there, but I do house my truck there, but I ain't had no complaints. I mean, maybe if I come home and I got a load on my truck, instead of parking on the side of the road, I usually backs in my yard, go in the house, take a shower, go on about my business. Mm-hmm. But I can't say, you know, sometimes I do now, I pulls over to the shoulder and I might block a little traffic, block it in my yard, but it's much easier to back in my yard with just a single truck than the trailer. But I don't want to leave it on the side of the road. There's enough property there and entranceway there that I can get off the road. If somebody run in the back of the truck, I'll be in more hot water. So I just back in the yard there, and I go in the house, and my wife will fix me supper, and I take my shower, and I go on about my business. And when the day is done, I just bring my tractor home.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Burton. I understand the application. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Lank?
No question.
Counsel?
No questions. Thanks.
You know a lady named Brenda Cantrell?
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's Bart's ex-wife. I think she lives in the house.
Well, that's what she says here in this letter she wrote. She says that she's spoken to you a number of times about crossing over on her property with your truck. Did that happen?
Yes, before she put the stakes up there.
Okay. Well, she seems to think it was happening after that, according to this letter she wrote.
Well, I talked to Bart about that, and he went out there and pulled the stakes down, said it was his property, but I don't know.
Well, no matter whose property it is, you don't have a right to use it.
No, sir. And after she put the stakes up there, I didn't use it.
Okay. Well, you need to not be on her property.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We can only, you know, and I appreciate the fact that you're here trying to do the right thing. We appreciate that. We can only grant you permission to use your property, Mrs. Martin, not your neighbor's. And
just want to be very clear about that, that apparently not everyone is happy with the way you've been conducting yourself there. And if you have been encroaching on somebody else's property, then you need to stop doing it.
Yeah.
You get that?
Yes, sir, I got that.
Okay.
But I didn't, I thought me and her had to understand, and she put her stakes up, I stayed off her property. I put my little stone down, stayed closer to my property, you know, and then when Bart cut his grass, he cut my grass. I mean, he said, don't worry about it, but it's a different story. She said, I'm on her property. Hey, I stopped. I wasn't on her property.
No,
I stopped being on her property.
I know.
And I don't want no trouble with Mrs. Martin.
You're involved in a whole other situation there, and I believe me, yeah. I know more about that than I wish I did.
Right.
So, but really, you do need to try to stay contained on your piece of ground. That way everybody will stay happy, and she won't be writing letters like this and sending us pictures. We got pictures. We got everything.
She just really loves me.
So.
How long have you been on the property with your truck, Mr. President?
I've been there 7 years, Mrs. Martin.
It's been that long, hasn't it?
I think it has, 6 or 7 years.
How long do you think it's been, ma'am?
I think it's been more like 3, maybe.
No, a bit longer than 3.
Hey, I'm old. What do I know? I didn't think it'd been that long, though.
Yeah. And they are small lots in that area, and they're close to...
You know, it's residential.
It's a residential area. It's could be an issue, especially, I mean, the trespassing is one thing, and then, of course, there are, she has, was mentioning in her letter that you've had as many as 5 trucks there at a time.
No.
You say you've had 3.
I've had 3.
Yeah. Right. And her other concern is noise, apparently, when you're leaving, you know, and I understand it's part of your business, you have to leave when you have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Those were her issues. So.
Do you sell cars in your front yard?
Oh yeah. She also was telling us you're selling some cars.
Yeah, they my vehicles, my personal vehicles.
You're not selling them for somebody else or buying and selling. They're just your cars. Okay. All right. Anyone else have any questions at this point? All right then. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. For anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2008, John Martin. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2008? Okay, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2009. Josh Grapsky.
Mr. Chairman, while Mr. Lang's getting his records together, I'm going to not participate in this particular hearing.
Okay, then. Well, we're going to be counselless, unless, of course, we draft Mr. J. Work. somehow, I think we'll get through it.
Of course,
you know that would be pro bono. That would not be...
This is the application of Josh Grapsky to consider the conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district for a food truck vendor to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 20,271 square feet, more or less, for land lying southwest of Coastal Highway Route 1 and north and southeast of Airport Road, being Route 275A, with a 911 address of 19406 Coastal Highway, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 334, Map 13, Parcel 325.02. And for the benefit of the record, I just passed down copies of the site plan for this application. Makes reference to the location intended for the vendor truck, and makes reference to the existing structures already on premise and the related parking that already serves that existing premise. We did receive 3 agency comments, first one being from DelDOT, received on October 7, 2014, in the form of a support facilities report referencing that a traffic impact study was not recommended, but the current level of service F of Coastal Highway will not change as a result of this application. We also received comments from the Sussex Conservation District, submitted comments on February 4, 2015, in the form of a memorandum, and they reference that there is one soil type on this property, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas are affected, that no off-site drainage improvements or on-site drainage improvements will be required, and that no tax ditches are affected. Now, I would add to that just in general that the should be no erosion sediment control issues because there's no construction intended. Property is maintained and it's basically creating a space to park the taco truck.
Right.
Taco Rio, I think it's called.
Yes,
The third agency was County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Comments were received on February 9th, 2015, again in the form of a memorandum, and they referenced that the site is located in the West Rehoboth expansion area, that wastewater capacity is unknown at this time, that the SOAR design assumption is 12 EDUs per acre for lands with commercial zoning, that Ordinance 38 construction is not required, that if a wastewater connection is required, additional system connection charges are required, then the current system connection charge rate is $5,500 per EDU. That the parcel has been provided with a sanitary sewer lateral located in the utility easement running along the parcel's southern property line, that conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study will be required, that the proposed conditional use is on a parcel where central sewer service has been provided, that a wastewater connection permit and inspection by county personnel is required prior to the food truck connecting to central sewer, that the appropriate system connection charge must be paid prior to issuance of a hookup, that installation of a grease trap is required prior to connection to sewer, that if the food truck will discharge wastewater to a self-contained holding tank, a holding tank permit will be required, and that a concept plan is not required at this time. And gentlemen, that's all I have. Unless you have questions.
All right, then. Gentlemen, welcome.
Well, thank you. My name is Josh Grabsky. With me is Billy Lucas, who's the operator and my partner in the food truck, and Ms. Rosenfeld, who's one of my business partners as well.
For a minute there, I thought they were your bodyguards with a stance, that they've taken there.
I'd like to just submit some additional plans that we've put together since we've...
Hand them to our director, and he'll decide whether or not we can see them. And, of course, you heard what he read into the record on your behalf. Do you have anything you would like to add?
Absolutely.
Bear with me a second here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to get oriented. Oh, you got more pages.
Give him a second there.
You're showing, this is basically the liquid outdoor landscaping plan for the liquid business on premise. It's done by an architect. Just site plan information is.
Its intent is to show an alternative truck location that we've come up with since we submitted the location.
I don't think there's any harm.
No, it shouldn't be.
Yeah. The reason we go through that is that there's actually a 15-day rule that
For the applicant's benefit, if this use gets approved, then you have to submit a site plan to the commission in more detail anyway, and that'll resolve some of those questions.
Okay.
But this is doesn't.
What was Mr. Rosenfeld's first name?
Mitch.
Mitch. Thank you.
So the reason I'm submitting that tonight is this process was a little bit of a surprise to us. When we originally did the food truck, we contacted the county but got put through to the business department and licensing and didn't realize that we needed this. We quickly realized we did and tried to submit an application as soon as possible, and since then have kind of come up with what we think of as a better plan for the truck location, which is what's represented in those new sheets tonight.
Can I ask a question
before
you start? The truck is still parked where it's always been parked?
Currently, right. Yes.
Not the same place.
I guess the background on this application is the Big Chill Surf Cantina, which has been located there for the past 3 years, has had food service as part of the concept. And if you've ever been in the location, it's not a very big spot, and it was we just didn't think was being adequately handled. So we had come up with this idea to provide food through the food truck as opposed to being inside the building, which was kind of the original reason for why we pursued the food truck. So we look at, you know, the food service just being in a different spot than what it originally was. With regards to the layout, the new layout suggests that we put the truck in front of Liquid. The reason we want to do that is to not take up any additional parking spots and be able to kind of create a safe zone for customers who are utilizing the truck. So what that plan shows, really we should just point to the truck, is the truck kind of directly in front of the building, which is at the corner of Airport Road and Highway 1. So it's away from parking, would allow us to kind of back in and out of there and kind of create an area for guests to be able to congregate without being in a parking lot. We have not, since we've submitted the application, really moved the truck because we kind of wanted to get through this process to find out what the right place is for the truck if it is approved. Some components that we've kind of tried to manage ourselves. Parking has been a concern of ours, not from the truck, but from Big Chill. So we've executed two leases with local landlords from adjacent properties to add additional parking. So we've got 43 spots on site, and we have an additional 23 spots that's across the street, located next to the new firehouse. That's part of the Food Lion property. There's a back parking lot there. So we have 5-year leases on those, which I have copies of those leases if you'd like to see them. The Greater Otter grease trap, interesting to hear the comments from the engineering department. We seek some advice from the health department on that and kind of got mixed reviews on whether grease trap was necessary or not, given the fact that our holding tank holds all the detergents and chemicals that come from the 3-bay sink, which when a normal restaurant breaks down the grease and doesn't automatically need a grease trap. So we're happy to comply with any sort of necessary code restrictions, but have been unclear on kind of how to proceed there. Feel like the food truck process is a little unclear overall, so we're definitely trying to manage this the right way, but have definitely had a bunch of people look at us a little cross-eyed about how we handle this correctly.
Well, it's a little bit out of the ordinary from what they normally see. It's, you know,
absolutely.
We're not exactly covered up with food trucks yet.
Certainly not trying to blame, but trying to figure out what's the right way to proceed.
Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate the fact that you're here doing or trying to do the right thing.
Can I add to that?
Sure, yeah.
The best source, so you know, would be to contact the Utility Planning Division, who made those comments.
Right.
They're in this building on third floor.
Sure.
You'd want to talk to John Ashman or Rob Davis. Rob Davis is the one that prepared the comments. John signed them.
Sure.
Those would be the two contacts.
Yeah, we've been up there talking to them.
Very good.
With other projects, so I certainly respect and appreciate that moving forward. We do have a discharge for the truck that currently goes into the sewer line, so we'll have to remedy that with the grease trap. And are happy to do so. But currently that's how we've been discharging our water. There's not a ton of grease laden water when it comes to that. It's mostly for cleaning, but that's currently how we're doing it. Part of the process that we are working towards with this site plan is to improve the entire property. So we're looking at how to properly light the parking lot, how to properly lay the parking lot. Given the stormwater management issues and the restrictions we have, we can't do all asphalt in there. So we're kind of trying to get our whole understanding of what we can and can't do there. So we're certainly willing to work through that as well, not only for the food truck, but for all the businesses. And then the only other comment I have is, the design that I've handed out tonight accommodates any sort of setbacks as far as myself and my architect is aware, so that the truck wouldn't be in any sort of improper parked location on the property, as far as we understand. I guess the last comment is Big Chill having a liquor license. We have no intent for any sort of liquor consumption outside of the current restrictions that are set up through that liquor license. So no intent with the taco truck to sell any sort of margaritas or other alcohol.
All right, then. Well, let's see if anybody on the commission has any questions for you. Mr. Burton.
All right. So am I to understand these are pavers that are where the dune is, I guess? Or?
So what we've looked at for where the truck would drive on and off is it's a metal grid that would be covered with gravel, but it creates the structure for the truck to be able to drive over it. And then the grid work there shows pavers as well as potential decking as part of a kind of area for guests to congregate.
Okay. What would be the hours of operation?
Our current hours of operation for the truck are 7 days a week, open at 5 p.m. And we're open till 1 a.m., which is the same hours that the bar's operating. And in the weekends, we're open at noon, so we open for lunch on the weekends.
To 1 as well on the weekends?
Yeah, till the 1 a.m., so just open earlier.
Well, I guess the signage would be the truck, right? You're
correct.
Not seeking any additional signage.
No, there's a note there that the signage that's currently where it's at would need to move to accommodate that driveway if we did, but it would be the same signage, but no additional signage.
And can the patrons of the Big Chill walk out with a drink and go over to this patio?
No, sir.
They have to stay on the Big Chill side of the...
They can walk out. They just can't take their drink out. And that's more on the liquor license side with the...
But they can go out to these decks.
That's Big Chill's problem, really. It's not the truck's problem.
Yeah, so Big Chill is licensed to be able to provide alcohol in the interior as well as the patio that's enclosed by the fence. And when we went through the licensing for that, we had to lay out a floor plan that included the outdoor patio that's on the Big Chill part of the piece. But there's some clear signs that when you walk in the Big Chill that on one side say no one under 21, and on the outside say can't bring alcohol past this point.
Are you planning tables and chairs and et cetera over here next to the bus?
We'd like to, but we know that's an additional process for approval purposes. So that would be the intent, but don't know if that's possible yet or not.
Okay. And then the holding tank issue, you'll get worked out. Okay, I have no further questions.
Okay. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The truck itself, how mobile is the truck?
Completely mobile. Could be moved whenever necessary.
So it's licensed, inspected as periodic to go up and down the highway. Do you have plans to take it off and cater at remote sites?
Yes, sir.
And then you would bring it back, and if you built decking, you would then park it right there beside the decking?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What sort of life expectancy do you get out of a truck?
I would assume a normal truck. If the truck didn't work, it could still operate as a kitchen or as the food component. It would just not be able to be mobile. Yeah. So from that perspective, I think I don't think a way to estimate the life expectancy. That truck we bought is a used truck and has some miles on it, so how long it life expectancy, I'm not sure.
I don't know either. As the chairman said, we've had a couple of these applications. I guess what I was thinking about, supposing the bed or the frame, rust and falls out, and then you have to, because you've got some weight, you've got grease, you've got heat, things like that, how easy is it to replace a taco truck with another taco truck?
Well, they're fairly replaceable. I mean, we had that truck built in a couple months. any sort of liquids other than the gas get removed on a frequent basis. So the oil, the only oil that's stored on there are the ones that are in the fryers. The gray water tank is discharged on a daily basis. So I don't foresee any issues with it potentially causing problems from an environmental perspective on the site. If it became unsightly, I think it's a disadvantage to the other businesses that are on that site. So I think maintenance is going to be a key piece to the image of the truck, so to speak.
And I'm not going to try to get into your business plan, but you do see this, if you're successful, as being a ongoing and long-term operation. That would be the goal.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm asking because I happened to see a television show last night that featured several food truck operators. Lloyd's of Buffalo was one that came to mind, and all of those operators were trying to use their taco trucks or their food vending trucks as stepping stones to brick and mortar restaurants. If you saw it or not. So
I haven't.
You're saying this would be, you're hoping that this lasts into infinity and beyond.
At least for
the
life of, yeah. We kind of look at it as a part of the Big Chill concept, I guess. So we see it kind of as part of while that business exists. I come from the brick and mortar, so we kind of thought of this as a fun, hasn't been really done down here component to the concept.
Yeah.
Just to allay your fears, we have brick and mortar restaurants.
Yeah. No, I don't have fears, as I say. Just happened to see this show last night, and everyone that they featured was merely using the food vending truck as a stepping stone to something else.
Yeah,
you're saying you have the stepping stone, and you're going retro. Okay.
Well, maybe, so for Billy, and I don't know if you want to speak to this, you know, this is a dream of his, and worked in my organization 8 years ago, and then was out in Los Angeles in that food truck world and in the rock and roll catering lifestyle, and came back to kind of pursue his dream. So I guess it's a stepping stone from that perspective for him to become part of our organization and potentially grow into bigger things. But, you know, I don't know if this becomes a fleet of trucks or it becomes a full restaurant. I think it's kind of trying to figure out what happens, and right now it's about getting permission for one truck and then seeing where we go from there.
And making the site safe and accessible and compliant with what county regulations and all would have for you.
Certainly happy to do that.
Favorably.
Yeah.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, sir.
Thank you. The parking, you mentioned you have some a lease agreement or rental agreement with Food Lion, I think you said. Can you be parking compliant without that rental parking?
Yeah, so what's on site is, by our architect's calculations, compliant. Uh-huh. It's the additional parking is just for overflow.
Right, and that includes with the food truck, you would still be compliant with, yeah.
As far as my understanding is, yes, sir.
Okay, I was just concerned because conditional use could be approved and then your rental could expire or not be renewed or whatever, and then we'd have this gap in parking, and then that corridor parking, as you're aware, which is why you rented the additional parking, is a premium. So
yes,
that's
sir.
The reason for the question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Mr. Lank, any questions?
Just to clarify, you're referencing Big Chill more than you do Liquid. The truck's going to be parked next to Liquid, and you're hoping to mix and cater with Big Chill. Big Chill is a restaurant. Liquid is surf shop.
Yep, sir.
If I understand it right.
Yes, sir.
You recently had, I've seen the site plan for the revisions to the Big Chill, where you want to create the patio and the back with the fencing and the little stage for entertainment type thing. Is that completed yet?
About 3/4 of the way done.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I knew the site plan had been approved for that. It's not a
problem.
Yes,
sir.
I think that's all I have. I just want to let them be them informed. Based on the site plan you submitted, it doesn't show any setback dimensions from roads. And being it's a mobile unit, you may be required to go to the Board of Adjustment for a public hearing because of the setback location of the intended truck.
Okay.
So there may be some setback issues, but we can discuss that. You can't really apply for it until you get a decision from council anyway, so
okay.
We can discuss that part later. To get more detail, anytime you want to come in, we can discuss.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you want me to address why it's in front of Liquid versus Big Chill? Or
no, just
I would like you to, yeah.
Yes,
no, I'd like to hear that.
If you look at the property, it's not the biggest property to work with, so we thought that was the best spot to get the truck in what we think of as the safest environment for patrons to come up to it.
There, because that's the space that's there for it, yeah.
The best available in our mind.
All right, fair
but
enough.
We still cross-promote Big Chill and Taco Rio because they're hospitality businesses and have a delivery system from the truck into Big Chill, so it kind of creates a level of service for Big Chill that is higher than what we were doing before for food, and that was the purpose of the truck originally.
It does appear to be as far away as possible from the parking, so from which is the safety issue. I mean, that's
excuse me, yes, sir.
You know, would be a lot more problematic if it were just parked, immediately adjacent to the parking, and then you'd have people walking through the parking lot to get to the taco place and cars backing out. And
that's a general concern for us with regards to the bar operation.
Right.
So.
But you do want to have some picnic tables and stuff as an accompaniment to the trailer.
We would, but we're aware that would be a submission for EDU changes and things like that. Potentially
that's
additional
a bigger
seating.
Deal. Yeah.
It would require additional parking also.
Yeah.
Which you don't have on site.
Right.
So you have to work in your shared parking agreements to make that work.
Okay.
Which could, again, be done at Board of Adjustment level because they look at parking off-site.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm aware that this is a presentation for right. initial acceptance and that there's additional work to be done, and that may or may be allowed seating specifically, and we'd have to live within the restrictions of the code, so we're conscious of that.
Okay. Any other questions right now? All right, gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2009, Josh Grabski? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2009? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, then, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2000.